The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome in, hour number two, Bruce Hooley Show, final hour of the week. We will not be here tomorrow. It is Good Friday. Hopefully you will be reflecting on the seriousness of that day, what Jesus did for all of us at the cross, taking our sin on himself, suffering the indignation, the degradation, the unspeakable pain that had to be paid to cleanse us of our sins and redeem us. If we claim what he did for us, you have to do that. It's an important step. Can't just have happened and you just leave it unaddressed. But I certainly hope that you reflect on that tomorrow. It's a somber day, but we look forward to the joy of Easter morning when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the redemption that we have in him. Such a super sad story yesterday from rural Pennsylvania, where five people from the city of Delaware, which is just 10 miles from our studio, were killed in a car accident at about 1:45. The lives lost, 55-year-old Harold Nybert, 47-year-old Bradley Thivener, Crystal May, 36, Amanda Dawson, 33, and 7-month-old Cullen Dawson all died at the scene when it appears the car in which they were driving crossed into an oncoming lane and was struck head-on by a semi tractor trailer. The pictures are awful, and we certainly grieve with the family of those who were lost. Grief is a powerful emotion. It is an unfair emotion. It comes back and hits you hard when you least expect it. So that is a very difficult situation that those family members will struggle with for a long, long time. And when I speak about the Israeli-Gaza conflict, I do not mean to minimize the grief of the refugees in Gaza who are caught in a war zone and who are dying. The number of them who are dying are not dying like the Gazan health ministry says they are dying. And their deaths are much different than these random deaths at a moment of inattention or malfunction by the car or whatever caused this accident. I cannot explain innocent civilians and the price they have to pay in a war. There were millions of innocent civilians killed in World War II. It is a casualty of war. It cannot be prevented. It is inarguable that the people of Gaza installed Hamas in power, and Hamas never left, and the people never rose up and protested what Hamas did to them, stealing every resource possible coming into that country to enact its terroristic genocide against Israel. Sometimes we have to pick between the lesser of two evils, and it is not a hard pick for me to say that Israel, a sovereign nation of God's chosen people, have the right to exist free from having rockets lobbed into their country, from suicide bombers going into their country, from the north and from the west. Israel has the right to fight for its survival. And when Hamas went in on October the 7th and murdered without justification 1,250 Israelis and took over 200 of them hostage and continued to rape and murder, rape and mistreat and, yes, murder hostages, that to me justifies whatever Israel has to do to go in and end that threat once and for all. And that is where our president was on the day of the terrorist attack. Before I play that for you, I want to play for you something that one of Biden's bootlick stooge spokespeople said earlier this week. It is John Kirby's Pentagon guy. He's there because Corinne Jean-Pierre is utterly incompetent and he has to go in. Kirby does and tackle matters that are complicated and have great consequence. And we can't afford her bubble-headed responses, even if they're read off the piece of paper that somebody gives to her. Here is John Kirby when, and I led my show with this, the UN passed a resolution earlier this week calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. No, 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 and no. There are 400 Hamas fighters left in Gaza. That's it. Go finish them off. End the war. I don't know why Biden is so stupid that he can't see that his best chance of getting reelected is to have the Israel-Hamas conflict vanish from the headlines. And the way for it to vanish from the headlines is not for you to call for a ceasefire. It's not for you to disparage what Israel is doing. It is to let Israel and to help Israel do everything necessary to eradicate these human vermin from the face of the earth. You are human vermin if you look at another human being and say because of their ethnicity, they must not be allowed to live. Okay? Not a hard call on Hamas. So John Kirby, noting that, well, he asked a question about it. Why did the U.S. not veto this resolution before the U.N.? Why did you allow it to go through? Because the U.S. has veto power over whatever's coming out of the U.N. So does China. So does Britain. So does France. So does Russia. They cannot allow something to come to the floor, but they let it come to the floor because, of course, their position on Israel has changed, which John Kirby, because he's a Biden spokesperson, has to lie about.
You say it's not a shift in policy by voting for this today. Get specific with us as to why again. And to the charge that by even abstaining, because normally there may be some attempt at the Security Council or the UN overall to condemn Israel every so often for whatever reason, the U.S. usually stands up and vetoes those resolutions. Here now, for the first time in a while, the United States is at least abstaining and allowing it to go through. So the perception broadly is that the U.S. has no longer got Israel's back when it comes to conversations like this with the U.N.
Yeah, that's just not true, Ed. Nothing could be further from the truth, quite frankly. Of course we still have Israel's back. I mean, as you and I are speaking, we are still providing tools and capabilities, weapon systems, so that Israel can defend itself against which we agree is still a viable threat to Hamas. Again, no change by this non-binding resolution on what Israel can or cannot do in terms of defending itself.
That's a lie. Because if you could have vetoed it and kept it from coming to the floor, it never would have censured Israel for not entering into a permanent ceasefire. That's where Joe Biden was on October the 7th. This is what he had to say about Israel.
My administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering.
Rock solid and unwavering. Was he still rock solid and unwavering 3 days later on October the 10th?
I just got off the phone with a third call with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And I told him, the United States experience that Israel is experiencing, our response will be swift, decisive, and overwhelming.
If the United States, I'll clean it up for you, if the United States was experiencing what Israel was experiencing, our response would be swift and overwhelming. Notice, no second-guessing, no backstabbing, no calling for Netanyahu to be taken out of office. 8 days later, Joe Biden was in Israel. What was his message to Israelis?
I come to Israel with a single message. You're not alone. You are not alone.
Okay, then the numbers started to come in from the Gazan Health Ministry that civilians were being killed in Gaza, and oh, Israel better back off. And here's Joe Biden on October the 25th.
I have no notion that Palestinians are telling the truth about how many people are killed. I'm sure innocents have been killed, and it's the price of waging a war.
I have no notion of the number of Palestinians that are being killed. I'm sure some are being killed, but it is a casualty of war. All right. Did we get out of the month of October still solidly behind Israel? We did, but then what changed? The polls changed, and people started to bellyache and whine and complain and bemoan the fact that the Gazan Health Ministry was making up stories about deaths in Gaza and that Rashida Tlaib and others on the squad started to prattle on about how Israel was a colonizer country and that it had no right to go in and eradicate people who want to eradicate them. So then we get to February 5th, and here's Joe Biden. Does he still sound like he's swift and overwhelming? in what he favors Israel do to Gaza?
The major military operation in Rafah should not proceed without a credible plan for ensuring the safety and support of more than 1 million people sheltering there.
Gee, is that the same guy from October? Other than the dementia, yes, it is. March 1st, Joe Biden, talking about Israel. What's their responsibility to Gaza, Joe?
We're gonna insist that Israel facilitate more trucks and more routes to get more and more people the help they need. No excuse.
No excuse. I don't remember us sending in humanitarian aid when we were trying to take out bin Laden and ISIS. Maybe I missed it. Biden, just a couple days ago, when somebody was shouting him down at one of his speeches about health care and everybody needing health care, and then this woman asked, what about Gaza's? What about them and health care?
Be patient with them. They have a point. We need to get a lot more care into Gaza.
They have a point. We went from rock solid, swift and overwhelming, you're not alone, to you have to provide them care. And protesters have a point. Do you think they're going to back off? Do you think Tlaib's going to shut up? Do you think AOC's going to shut up? No, why? Because the president has clearly sent a signal, as clear as you can, that he is abandoning Israel. Oh, it is time. My buddy Ron said the other day that Today in Crazy has become his favorite segment on the show. It is one of my favorite segments. You know why? Because when you're a talk show host, you're always trying to fill time with interesting material. And some segments, you're like, well, what am I going to use there? When you brand a segment Today in Crazy, the stack of stuff is like always like about an inch high. And we, you know, if we get in trouble, we could go to California, New York. We can always find plenty of stuff. But today, kids, Today in Crazy, right here, Columbus, Ohio. They had 40 people last night in a fourth floor banquet room at Columbus State Community College. They broke into small groups at round tables, and they talked about feelings and family and respect and authority versus responsibility. But you know what they were really there to do? They were there as a community focus group to figure out what in the world is the city of Columbus going to do with the monstrous 7,000-pound bronze statue of Christopher Columbus. It was given to us a long time ago by our sister city. Did you know we had a sister city? We do. It's Genoa, Italy. And it wouldn't be an issue if we had left it where it was, which was right in front of City Hall, for 6.5 decades. But of course, as any person who has a modicum of logic and common sense would know, when career criminal George Floyd died in Minneapolis because he tried to pass a $20 counterfeit bill to buy cigarettes, and a police officer was found guilty of his murder for simply trying to restrain him when George Floyd had enough fentanyl in his system to kill a thoroughbred horse, well, that forced us to take the Christopher Columbus statue down, right? I mean, logic, common sense. Guy dies in Minneapolis, career criminal. He pistol whipped a pregnant woman. He's high on fentanyl. Cop tries to restrain him. Guy dies. Uh-oh. Hey, get on the phone to Columbus. Get that statue down right now. So, of course, we did. And it is now sitting somewhere in storage. And 40 people are coming together to try to figure out what to do with it. If that doesn't fall under the headline of Today in Crazy, I don't know what does. The reason why they have to take it down, according to the racial justice protesters, is that the Christopher Columbus statue is a symbolism of racism, slavery, and genocide. Not, as you thought and were raised to think in school in 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, not an example of courage, valor, or independent thinking, because back then everybody thought the world was flat. Now, instead, the only thing that's flat are the heads of Democrats who want to take down the Christopher Columbus statue and have, in fact, done so. Bill Bush of the Columbus Dispatch writes, the city has been ever so slowly and carefully crafting a plan that might eventually return the statue to a less prominent public or private space. I love the next part of this sentence. Surrounded with contextual information, that would lay bare all the reasons that Columbus, while an early European explorer and major historical figure, shouldn't be considered a role model. Columbus should not be considered a role model. He only sailed across the ocean in three ships that were 60 feet or less stem to stern at a time when people thought he could sail right off the edge of the world, thus bringing European civilization to what became the United States of America, but he shouldn't be considered a role model. He should not be considered a role model. Why? Because, of course, you know, he displaced the Native Americans who, if they could have cut off his head and used it as a scalp, they would have, because they did it to their own indigenous people who were in rival tribes as a matter of routine. By the way, did you see RFK's announcement of his vice presidential nominee? They had to like do an incantation apology ahead of time for the fact that they were having the press conference on land taken from indigenous people before they started the press conference. And I picture RFK being told, like, we got to do what? No, he was probably all on board with that. And then Bill Bush quotes a woman by the name of Kimberly Braswell, who led the meeting last night on behalf of an organization called Reimagining Columbus. And this will not shock you. A project funded by the city and the Mellon Foundation's Monuments Project. Kimberly Braswell grifting off the city and some woke organization's grants. I'm surprised Mackenzie Scott, Jeff Bezos's ex-wife that he slept around on, where she's given out millions of dollars to woke organizations across the country. I'm surprised Mackenzie hasn't donated to this yet. Kim Braswell probably has the application in the mail right now. I looked up Kim online, and here is her biography about a speech she gave in Hilliard in August of 2018. Here's the biography of Kim Braswell. Stories of trauma and impact that linger often go untold. Kim Braswell shares how her ancestral history and intersectionality of identity and rich family diversity in race, religion, mental health, language, sexual orientation, and class identity, all of which has propelled her work as a trauma-informed social justice advocate and entrepreneur. Well, the entrepreneur part is the grifter part, by the way. She has found that going through trauma is the only way to heal and move forward. Or you could read your Bible and pray and come to Christ. That worked for me. It's worked for millions of people across the world since the clock flipped from, you know, BC to AD. But no, you do you, because I'm sure the Mellon Foundation and the city of Columbus pay well. Kim Braswell says, we have to, quote, reckon with our city's namesake. And that city officials in Columbus need to, quote, realize that there are generations of stories that are tied in any direction as to whether it, the Columbus statue, should be up or not. Are there really people who are so triggered in this city that if we left the Columbus statue in front of Columbus City Hall in Columbus, Ohio, that they couldn't, like, put one foot in front of the other, when one foot in front of the other, breathe in and breathe out? Yes, Bruce, there are people like that because they're open-minded. Yes, they are open-minded. You know how open-minded they are? They're so open-minded, their brains have fallen out. That's how open-minded they are. Today in Crazy, Christopher Columbus, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry for what the country you discovered is doing to your legacy.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.